Jessie of A Polar Night.
And I'm H. Dizzle, a.k.a. Heather of Tangled Bee Crafts.
I was going to say, what? This,
what?
What?
And we are the Not-So-Crafty Gorgons. Yeah.
Wee! So I'm leading slash spearheading slash whatever another episode.
Synonym.
Huh?
Synonym? Sorry.
Synonyms. I'm a thesaurus.
Leading, spearheading, whatever other synonym to that. Like, that's where I thought that was going. I'm so sorry. I just derailed this whole episode.
That is, like, the best intro I think we've ever done, and I'm here for it.
What?
So, we're going to talk about video games and how it pertains to crafting, in particular, crafting video games. So, I'm going to start with my past in some of the games that I've played and a little bit of the games that I currently play and some of the details about them, because I know there's a lot of people and I've ended up in a lot of situations where I've had to explain this, and so I know that there's an audience who are like, what the fuck is Minecraft and how the fuck do you play it and why does it have the word craft in it? We're going to talk about that today. But I did want to kind of go over, like, I know I've been spearheading a few of these episodes recently, and it's because I'm going to be on leave. So even when we come back, if I'm not at 100%, Heather's going to be doing a lot of that work.
Yeah.
And I want to give her credit, too, for, because, like, I'm doing this piece, kind of, as best as I can, because I'm a mess. But she's doing, like, all of the editing, of the social media. Like, she's doing a lot of stuff right now because I can't. So I just want to give her credit.
Which is why publicly. It sucks so much, because it's me.
It does not. Anyways, let's not be nice to Heather, because she can't handle it.
BT dubs, we are currently recording in a hotel room that I had a random fucking Hilton honors point. So we're like, let's get a hotel room, because we're going to do some videos, record some episodes. And, like, this is the first time I feel like we're both sitting semi-comfortably and not, like, either crammed between your desk or, like, recording, like, in my weird apartment. Like, I'm just like, this is so, I feel so legit.
Yeah,
like,
we're both in chairs.
Like, weird. What is this?
Yeah, and actually, when we pick back up at my house, we just finished my master bedroom, and I will have an actual office, and we'll get to sit in chairs like adults, like we're doing right now. So this is visions of the future right here.
Oh, jeez. So excited.
I don't even think we're going to know how to handle it. Like, that's what's happening right now is we're used to being children who sit on the floor. So we're like, ha-ha, boogers.
Yes. As evidenced by our blooper reel that you guys will get to hear. No, only if you're a Patreon. You're only going to get to hear it if you're a Patreon.
Which you patron. Want to, so be a patron.
Yes.
Yes.
Because the blooper is the best of the best and the worst of the worst.
Our bloopers are really good.
There might be some crying at some point.
All right, so I'm going to get into, like, my history with video games. I actually got hooked onto this series called Pets, P-E-T-Z. Now, you may recognize that name as a series that was handled by Ubisoft and I think EA Games at one point. I'm trying to remember who. I know it was definitely Ubisoft. Ubisoft bought the name from another company, and the name of that company was PF Magic, and I think they took it over, actually. So PF Magic stood for pure fucking magic, because aww, video games look like pure fucking magic if you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Especially in, like, 1991, I feel like there were less people who were aware of, like, how computers worked, and they had just started having, like, computers in homes that, like, played games, like, of substance at that point in the early 90s, so.
As opposed to solitaire.
Yeah, exactly. So they created a couple of games. For one thing, they created, like, a boxing game, and that was their foray into games, I think. And it was just, like, kind of a silly little fun game. But the next game that they created was called Oddballs. And by the way, I'm doing all of this from memory because this is how much I know about this. So if I'm getting some things a little wrong, give me some forgiveness on this, because I'm literally doing this from memory. So Oddballs was interesting in that they created creatures using a series of ball shapes. That was the whole thing. It's a framework with ball shapes on it. And then it's like they used that to build a creature. And when you looked at it, you could kind of see the way it was constructed and the way that they would connect. And they were different colors, and they had these, like, fun little foods that they would eat and treats that they could have. And, like, some of the foods would make them do weird things. Like, they would, like, turn into another shape or make a weird sound for a little bit. And it was just a fun little, like, almost like a Tamagotchi experience with this thing that was, like, bizarre looking. I wasn't into the games at that point because I was too young. But I got into it. So then they had pets. Pets 1, or did they just call it Pets, but Pets 1 is how people in the fandom refer to it. And that one just had dogs and cats, same concept, same base work of the game, same, like, they were made of these ad balls, I think is what they call them, in the coding. And they were just kind of constructed, and they looked like different animals. I don't know a lot about Pets 1 because I never played it. Gonna be completely honest, like, I think I've played a demo of it. I started with Pets 2, so I got a copy of Dogs 2. It was on my friend's desk at her house, and I picked it up, and I was like, this looks cool. What's this? And she's like, oh, it's like Tamagotchis, but it's for your computer. I don't play it. I don't like it. And I was like, can I try it? Because this was something I remember looking at my computer and thinking, like, I'd love to have, like, something to take care of.
Oh.
And at that point, they had, like, Desktop Sheep, which I'm really aging myself here. Yeah. It was, like, a little app that you just have a little sheep that would wander around on your desktop, which was super wild.
Did you hear the knocking?
I did hear the knocking.
I thought it was you, but then I didn't see you move. Okay, anyways.
Are we upsetting someone? That's fine. We can upset them. Anyways, I'm talking about sheep.
Sorry, I'm afraid of ghosts. And there's a really big fucking mirror in here. So I'm like, we're going to be murdered. Sorry.
This is probably going in that blooper reel, but, or it's not, and this is just the weirdest episode we've ever done. Haha. So then they did Dogs and Cats 2, which I think that the difference in those ones, and I might be mistaken, if any of the developers or people that are interested in the game can get back to me, let me know. I think with Dogs 2 and Cats 2, the appeal was that you could put the two games together, which has been my entire experience with the game. So to me, this was not novel. I bought Cats 2 and was like, wow, cool. It all goes together. But your pets couldn't propagate. You couldn't have puppies or kittens.
Oh.
Then I was there when Dogs 3 and Cats 3 came out, and that was when you could then breed your animals.
Ooh.
And then there was the version 4 had, like, more play scenes and stuff like that, and, like, these little visitors that would come and pop in and out of the scene. Like, there was a circus scene and, like some other stuff that just kind of added to the ambiance of the game. And then with 5, which is arguably, like, I don't even really consider 5 to be a part of, like, the base game because it's so different. It actually changed the coding of the pets so they weren't backwards compatible anymore. Like, pets in the 3 version of the game couldn't go back to 2 because their coding had to be changed so they could be bred. In 3 and 4, they were kind of interchangeable. It was like the same pets files. And then 5 changed it because you would be able to have up to 4 babies at a time. So it really changed the way that the coding on the files worked. Why am I talking about this in regards to crafting, though? So the important thing to realize is that this was largely a female fan base. There were, of course, boys that played, of course, but it was largely girls that played. It was our first experience for many of us with the internet. It was many of our first experience with sharing files because you could actually take your pet's files and share them with people.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so they had a whole pets exchange that was officially on the internet. And then they also had, like, Silver's Pet Site, which was an offshoot site, but that you could also upload your pets to. And it was our first experience with being like, wait, you can make a website? Like, people looked to sites like Silver's. There was a woman named Carolyn who I'll talk about in a little bit. She had a website. You know, we looked at that. Cloud9 Kennels. A lot of these early pets websites with, because adults played the games too. And they got into, like, the coding aspects. And then these girls who were from ages, like, 5 to 15 looked at that. And we were like, wow, I can make a website? And then we had, like, Lissa Explains It All, which is obviously a playoff of the show, like, Clarissa Explains
gotcha.
It All.
Gotcha. I was like, wait.
Yeah, but it's a coding website from the 90s. It was these, you know, those bright pinks, greens, blues, ooh, purples, and it showed you how to do coding. And I think the site's still up today. I think it's been toned down a little bit, but it's
rude.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, everything should still look like a 90s web page, you guys. It just should. And so many of us saw that, and we wanted to learn things, so we learned HTML. Stands for hypertext markup language, for those of us that are nerds, but basically it's the bones of a web page.
It makes me think back to, like, the MySpace era, where, like, you could have all the different designs in the background and, like, learning how to do HTML for that.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And that's, so, like, this was, like, before we had MySpace, and we had, like, GeoCities. And GeoCities had, like, a website builder at that point that was horrible. You couldn't upload, like, your own files and stuff, so we had to, like, learn how to use, you know, file management and how to get everything up. And there was just so many girls that were into that. And then getting into the modding of the game, these files were editable with what's called a hex editor. Many may recognize hexadecimal because of web colors. Hmm. So those six-digit numbers that represent the colors, those are in hexadecimal.
Ooh.
And there's a lot of information there. I'm not going to get into what the hexadecimal is.
I would love to match, see, like, a spreadsheet matching the hexadecimals with DMC floss.
I'm sure it exists.
Or, like, even pearlier beads. That would be fun. Super fun.
Yeah. So,
or there's an app, I'm sure, that, like, you can take a picture and it'll match it.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. But that was how we got into modifying pets, was just using these hex editors. A lot of it was largely changing those colors. And you had to go through part by part on the pet and change the colors. And you'd actually change the breed file, not the pet file. So you'd change the breed file. A dog or cat would pop out for whatever breed file you were working on. So let's say you were making Dalmatians and you wanted them to be blue. You would go to the adoption center and see if your file was working by having a Dalmatian pop out.
Hmm.
Take a look at it, see which parts are still white, try to find that in the file, and change it to blue. As things got on, people like Carolyn, who was an older woman, and I think she's still in the community, and people can let me know if that's still the case, because I could not find her website this time, which made me kind of bummed out. Her website had been hosted in so many different spots because she was invaluable to the community. And she learned how to edit things in ways that no one else had done and was continuing to learn how to do things up until, like, the community really kind of dissolved. There's still little vestiges of it out there, but for the most part, it's dismantled. And she did things like made giraffes and dragons. Oh, wow. And just, yeah, like, she did crazy things. And so she was really the person who pushed us to learn how to do other aspects of these pets. Many of the girls who played this game have gone on to become web designers, have gone on to become game designers, have gone on to just all these different things that involve the tech that they learned when they were little girls. And I think that that game single-handedly did more for girls in tech than just about anything else that I can imagine, honestly. And if we could recreate something like that, I think it would get more girls into creative tech.
Ooh.
So, something to think about.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah, so if you know about the new games, though, those aren't really related. If it has the Ubisoft label on it, it's not the original games. Mm. If it's, like, the video files or whatever, they're not editable, it's not the same game. They kind of took the title and killed it, frankly, when they took it over.
Mm.
And it's really cool, though, if you go out on LinkedIn, you can actually do a search for PF Magic, and you can find the original developers. A lot of them are still out there working, which is super cool. And I feel like a weirdo for admitting that, but I like to know what they're up to and that they're still out there doing stuff.
For sure. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, so that was, like, my first creative foray into video games. Then there's Sims 1 and Sims 2. And I kind of count Sims 3 in my generation of... I was older when Sims 3 came out, but, like, Sims 1 and Sims 2 were definitely part of my childhood. Sims 1, I got into making furniture, I got into making clothes. It was much easier. If I remember correctly, like, a file would pop out when you'd, like, work on the mesh for, like, a furniture item, and it would just give you the pictures for each side of the furniture object, so you could just plop that into Photoshop and edit it and be done. Sims 2 is much more finicky because it's an actual 3D game, so it was more it just involved more ticky-tackiness. And Sims 3 was, I never modded anything for Sims 3. It just wasn't going to happen. But that was another kind of foray into being creative, and there were a lot of really awesome creators on Mod the Sims 2 and some other websites. So I just wanted to do a brief mention of it because I feel like that was my segue game into other games. I played Pets, which didn't really have a gameplay aspect other than playing around with the genetics and doing some fun things with the breeding and with creating cool things. And then Sims actually had more gameplay aspects to it, and I got into how do I play this game in a way that's the most efficient. And I got really into J.M. Pescado's one desk theory and stuff. And
what?
Yeah, so there's some people that play Sims and they play it to be the most efficient, to get their sim in the house in the right way, to get them to you do these things in this order so that you get all their needs met in the right order, and then you can really maximize their productivity and stuff. It's
okay.
And I got really weirdly into that.
Interesting.
Yeah, so these games that people say don't have a right way, we made a right way.
I love it, because I was just thinking, weren't we not talking about Sims?
Yeah.
But I love that you're talking about it anyways.
And Sims was also, I think, one of the first things that a lot of people got into as a storytelling mechanism.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I remember just the prevalence of it growing up and how it's still a staple in a lot of households, game library.
Do you have a lot of experience in The Sims, or what's been your experience in kind of coming up against that?
Honestly, I just like to smash. I don't mean in the sexual, in The Sims. I just prefer video games where I can punch things and fight things and,
That's fair.
Pick
That's
flowers.
Fair. I want to fight things and pick flowers.
Yeah, so Skyrim was made for me. I really get really disconnected with Sims. I start it and then I get very anxious. And, feel like I should be doing things in the real world. It's too close to home, if that makes sense.
That's super fair. And, yeah, and that's why I always played, challenges, the legacy families and stuff, where you actually had, goals that you would make.
Gotcha.
There's also, apocalypse challenges and stuff where you would, pretend, the world had ended and you wouldn't let yourself use certain objects until you had, unlocked them for yourself.
Oh, weird.
And you had to keep spreadsheets.
In a good way.
Yeah. The number of spreadsheets that I have kept for video games is probably unreasonable.
I love it. Oh, my goodness. I love it.
Because, with Pets, I actually used to be so when you say that you're playing a game vanilla, it's you're playing the base game. So with Pets, I had, my whole hexing thing. And then I also had, a copy of the game that was separate that I kept purely vanilla. And I bred different dogs trying to get, these rare coat colors that would pop up. And so I had spreadsheets to make sure that my dogs were showing the right, thing. Yeah, exactly. So if, a dog popped out, orange babies every once in a while, I had, a way to track that.
Hmm.
And then make sure that I wasn't inbreeding or line breeding anybody.
It makes me think of Animal Crossing New Horizons, where you're trying to get the, blue or the gold roses.
Yes.
By, breeding the flowers. And, yeah, I love it.
It's not dissimilar.
I have a friend, Angelica, who, the way she structured her, island for these roses, and, she would have parties over, and she'd just be like, don't run through my roses. Just like, what? You're supposed to frolic in flowers. I'm trying to breed them. Love her so much.
Yeah, it's a thing. In the Animal Crossing groups, there's some hot, hot conversations about running through people's flowers.
I still don't understand it. I guess it tramples them?
Yeah, you trample them and they can't breed for 3 days because
oh.
They have to grow back. It doesn't kill them forever or anything. You just, it's annoying for sure, but it's also not the kind of thing that I would get out on the internet and be like, don't do it. I understand it. It's frustrating, so I get it. But also, it wouldn't be my hill to die on.
Sure.
I mean, if you know, if I didn't get enough Orange Dalmatians, that's upsetting for me, but not. No.
Orange Dalmatians. I love it.
Yeah, interestingly enough, they did not have natural liver spotted Wow, I can't say the word. Dalmatians.
I was like, Valkyrie? What?
Valedictorians.
Valentines. This is our dictionary show and our thesaurus show.
Yeah.
So well, I have to keep all the dumb stuff from the beginning.
I don't think anyone's going to complain.
No.
But yeah, I was really salty about that. I was like, but that's actually a thing that Dalmatians have. They actually have liver spots. But I can breed a fucking blue-gray one. What? I'm sorry, what? Anyway, so that's where hexing came in. Now, my new game, I shouldn't say new. I got into it during the pandemic. I don't know if that counts as new. But Minecraft. I'm very late to the game. In my age range.
Oh, I was actually one of the beta players.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting to get to talk to you about that then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my experience is that I came into it, and a lot of people my age play because they played when you started.
Yep.
And so for me, I came in on update 16 dot something. So I was already pretty, or like as 16 was coming out.
Mm.
So I came into the game right when a new update was about to come out, and I was really excited, and everything has changed since I started playing. So I can't even imagine what it was like to have come from the beta.
So different. So different. Yeah, because I played when the beta was out and then didn't play for about 8 years, 7 years, and then had my 4-year-old who, like, is suddenly recently interested. And so we just started playing again within the last 6 months.
Okay.
So it's, like, like the differences are in wild. Like, the number of wildlife creatures, so different how they interact. Yeah, it's a huge shift.
And we just had a major update, too, which even we found. Like, well, actually, the most recent update, we didn't find that jarring. The update before, with the addition of the caves and cliffs, like, the actual, like, expanding the world upward and downward, has been very jarring for all of us because of some of the changes. But basically, for those who don't know, Minecraft is an open world survival crafting game. What is a survival crafting game? It's exactly what it sounds like. It is a game where the objective is to survive the environment by collecting raw materials and crafting things from the raw materials. That includes, like, your tools, your house, your everything. And in Minecraft, everything is made of blocks for the most part.
Yep. And you literally have a crafting table.
Yep. Yep.
I love hearing the way my 4-year-old says, crafting table. It's a crafting table. Like, he almost has a Jersey accent when he says it.
That's so cute.
It's weird. But yeah, no, fun thing with Minecraft, so I'm in Steotch, which STEOTCH, but they do a stitch along every so often where it's like also the international cross stitch competition. And the last one ended up being House MD. And people were recreating the cross-stitch pattern as Minecraft blocks in Minecraft. So.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and they were also doing it in Animal Crossing, but with other stuff. So
that's really cool.
Wild, like, how much things translate.
That's really cool. Yeah, especially because, like, Minecraft, like, anything that's a block, you can put into or take out of Minecraft. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw some paper crafts that people, like, there's official Minecraft paper crafts, apparently, that you can buy and make cubes and to play with in real life.
Ooh.
And then there's some people that have printed their own and made bigger sets of them.
Wow.
Yeah, so you can buy, like, kits that you can print off and then build at home. And I kind of, like, It was in the Buy Nothing group.
Ooh.
And I, like, wanted to ask for them, but I was like, some kid's gonna love those. I can't ask for that, but I want them. So I might have to make some. How does that relate to crafting? Well, for one thing, it's literally crafting. So many of the builds that people make and the way that they use the materials is so creative that there's no way to describe it other than art. Especially, like, there's builds and there's, like, regular builds. And then there's mega builds, which are intense, often multi-year projects that are just huge. There's a collective of content creators called the Hermitcraft server. And they do, typically, I mean, it's not like it's, like, set in stone, but they tend to do mega builds. This season, we're in season 9 now, and they've seemed to have stepped back from it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And are just enjoying playing the game more, which is beautiful to see. But they do tend towards larger builds, and I think they're a really good example of people that get together and just create these just massive things. Like, they create cities, just large buildings, like, all kinds of different things. Castles, mansions. So if you are interested in kind of seeing examples of mega builds, I would check out Hermitcraft. Specifically, Green, Mumbo Jumbo... Doc is really fun. There's a few people, but I would check out anyone from Hermitcraft. Scar. How could I forget Scar? Scar's actually building in season 9. He's doing a theme park.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, he's basically like doing his own version of like Disney, which is really fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then there's also people that do redstone, and those people are geniuses. So my husband kind of understands redstone because in real life he was he was an electrician's apprentice at one point, and some of the concepts of redstone directly correlate to electric work.
Sure.
There's people that have built like actual functioning computers and stuff in Minecraft. It's insane the stuff that people can do with redstone. I get excited when I do a tutorial and it works out. And I have to pause the tutorial and rewind it 20 times to create the thing. But I think that redstone is its own kind of creativity because it's like that technical piece of mm-hmm. like almost like coding, but not.
Yeah. I like how in Minecraft you can get the materials to get like the shears. And then make the shears, then shear the sheep, get the wool, and then dye the wool after you, like, pick all the plants to make the dye. And then so you can dye the wool. And then there's a loom that you can build, so then you can make blankets and cloth. So I love how connected it is. But one of the things I will say from, like, a child development perspective, I have seen Luca begin to connect the dots of, oh, I have to spend the time to get the material and then converting the material to something else that's usable to get the end product, and understanding like things don't just magically exist now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he understands there's a making process, and I think that's so valuable for kids.
That's really cool that you get to see that, because I think Minecraft gets written off as just a kid's game. It is a lot more than that, and it's one of the things that I kick against when I have conversations with random strangers, like when I play Minecraft on a plane, as mm-hmm. has actually happened to me like 3 times now where I've had discussions with people. Two people have actually said that they were like, wow, that actually looks like a game that I would enjoy. I just thought my kids like were into it, but it looks cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot more than what you would think. It's really not just a kid's game. There's actually a grandmother on... Twitch.
Oh.
And she streams. Her grandchildren set her up with learning how to do all that. And she plays Minecraft. And she loves it. It's like her favorite thing in the world. And she's also super, super sweet. She's amazing. Okay. And her mods are really awesome. But she plays. So this game is fun from like the ages of 5 to 105, honestly.
Well, I love the amount of planning that it, like, you have to go into, especially if you're playing survival mode and not creative mode, right? Because, like, my four-year-old and I go between creative mode and survival mode because sometimes he just, like, he just wants to build. He doesn't want to deal with getting killed, right? But then there's other times where it's all about, like, all right, we only have, like, a few more minutes before it starts getting dark and the bad guys come. We need to, like, get somewhere safe. So it's interesting how many, like, real-life skills can be found in Minecraft.
Yeah.
So.
I think that's a really interesting point, and I hadn't actually considered, like, the child development ramifications.
Yeah, well, even just, like, standard adulthood, like, how it reinforces that. You mm-hmm. know, like, oh, I have to plan things.
I'm very good at planning things with my handwritten notes for this and another episode.
I think it's excellent planning.
I wrote them about an hour before Heather picked me up. No.
We still planned.
It's true. It's true. So the other way that people expand upon the creativity of Minecraft is these Let's Play videos. What's a Let's Play video? It's where you watch someone play and they make you feel like you're playing along with them. So they just show you how they play the game. They might have a little mini storyline with that. They might have, you know, like, oh, I'm going to build this cottage in the woods. Watch as I build it. Oh, here's my pet sheep. I've named it Buckley. It's Buckley the pink sheep. Which also, what Heather was talking about, you can, one of the things I wish you could do in real life is you can dye your sheep and then shear them and then just have infinite of that wool because you've dyed the sheep.
I've never actually tried dyeing the sheep.
Dyeing the sheep is so. I have rainbow sheep in all of my games because, and there's also, you can automate it. I'll have to show you. It's really fun.
You do have to show me.
You can have it where dispensers throw the shears at the sheep and then then things collect the wool automatically.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I just broke Heather.
My life is being revolutionized.
I'm gonna make Heather the best sheep farm she's ever seen. I'm going to break it like 8 times, though, because it does involve redstone, but it's fine.
Oh, my goodness, mate. Luca puts TNT everywhere, and he just, like, maniacally laughs. He's like, I'm going to blow up the planet. He's like, you're 4. Why? But it's because he watches the Let's Play games.
Yeah.
Or the Let's Play videos. Yeah, he sees that a lot. And I'm just like, I wonder why you're turning evil.
Yeah, see, I like the ones where they're just like, I'm going to build a house. Watch as I build this house. Watch as I take care of my pet sheep, Buckley.
Yeah, he watches those, and then he also watches the ones where it's, like, it'll start getting, like, really sketchy. And I'm like, we're done. We're going to turn this off.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this. There's a child who I adore in my life, who I babysit sometimes, and she watches some of the Minecraft videos. And there's some where, like, for one thing, they're copywritten sounds that they're using. I don't know how they're getting away with that, but they're just repeating them. It's like the sounds from SpongeBob over and over and over again until you want to drive a fork through your own temple.
I know literally which one you're talking about.
Yep. And it's like every video, it's the same sounds. Like if they get stuck on that channel, it's you're listening to those sounds for hours to the point that I had to like hide the remote at my house when I'm really trying to focus on work because I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. As we like existentially process the traumas.
No, I'm literally hearing those sounds. I will never unhear them.
Same. Like, I'm just like, ugh.
No, there was, like, I was getting so mad at it one day. I was like, I need to just report this channel for copyright infringement because it's pissing me off so bad. Oh, my gosh. Like, and I'm not that type of person. I'm a live and let live sort of person. I'm like, if you want to trample all over someone's trademarks, feel free.
You do, boo.
Yeah, you take whatever liberties you want to under capitalism. I would never do it, but you do your own thing, and if you get caught, then that's the consequences of your own actions. With this one, though, I was like, I am being subjected to this. I'm a victim of your channel.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
But I think it's interesting, like, on channels that aren't those, how it's a vehicle for storytelling, the same way that Sims was. You know, there's people that just have these elaborate worlds and storylines, and especially on, like, the multiplayer servers. It's really fun to watch some of the channels, especially the ones geared towards kids, and how they are like kid shows made with Minecraft. Yeah, so I don't know if you have any experience with watching any of those, like, Let's Plays and, like, the storytelling aspect?
Yeah, other, just the ones that I've sat with Luca, and most of those have been very, like I said, it vacillates between, you know, like, the ones you talk about, Buckley the Sheep, to, like, really cool ones where it's like, oh, and this is how I build a portal, and, like, I built angel wings, and this is how you make the angel wings, and, yeah. And then I've seen, like, the weird ones where it's like, I was abandoned by my parents, and now I'm being adopted by a creep. And I'm like, and we're escaping.
Yep.
Nope. Done. So, and it sucks that, like, some of that weird stuff is, like, marketed to kids, because it's on kids' YouTube.
Yep.
And it's, like, definitely not appropriate.
Yeah, there was some weirdness with that where, like, I finally had configured the TV to have kids' YouTube and figured that out. And even after that point, I realized that I had to be, like, really on top of what was happening. It was almost like kids' YouTube was more, I had to be more on top
dangerous.
Of it.
Yeah.
Like, at least with adult YouTube, like, she'd occasionally get onto, like, this is how we make a steel pipe. And I was like, well, I mean, that's weird. I don't know why you're watching that, but sure, have at it, I guess. One time she got into, like, watching, like, a really random show, and I was like, honey, what are you watching? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, would you like me to change it? She's like, yes, please. Oh. But, like, with the kids' stuff, there was, like, a weird, it was, like, the Minecraft videos, those weird ones, started coming on. I was like, I feel uncomfy with what you're watching, so we're going to change. So that's why I knew immediately what you were talking about. And then those ones tend to seg into, like, there's, like, these weird, they're, like, faux music videos where it has, like, two, like, cartoons talking to each other with text, and it just has music over the text, and there'll either be in English or, like, Spanish, and it's some drama. Like, it's almost like a soap opera.
Yeah, talking about, like, an abortion and cheating and, like, just, like, really, like, why is this on here for a child?
Yeah, because the first time it came through, and luckily, like, I don't think she could read some of the more dicey stuff. But I was like, hey, no more of those videos, please. I don't want you watching those. Because, again, at first, I was like, this is fine for kids. And I was like, no, it's not.
Yeah, I've also seen, like, the weird Paw Patrol videos where it's, like, not quite the characters, but, like, a ripoff of the characters being called the characters' names, and then they're doing weird stuff, like, suddenly Chase and Sky are having sex and cheating on Marshall, and I'm just like,
Oh, gosh! Luckily, we did not encounter those, so that was good, but, like, we actually started having, like, a safe list. I was like, you can watch this channel. I know that this one is safe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we've had to be, too. So.
Yeah. But, like, the ones that are legitimate are very fun.
Yeah.
I like them. I like some of the kids' ones, as long as they're, you know, an actual story. And not, like, woo! Or whatever the hell sound was happening behind my freaking head.
Oh, man, yes. I like Skyrim and feel Skyrim is a very craft-based game, given, like, the alchemy component and the enchanting component.
I'd agree. I really like Skyrim for... I don't really play it as the way it's intended to be played. I run around and pick flowers,
catch bugs.
Yep.
I'm all the alchemy game. Same. And then there's a dragon. I'm like, well, I guess I could kill it for something. Maybe I'll get a dragon scale.
And then recently I've been playing more 7 Days to Die, which is another survival crafting game, which is pretty similar to other survival crafting games. I would say it's like Minecraft with zombies, but Minecraft also has zombies. So it's like Minecraft with different zombies.
Yeah.
Like, it's just different zombies. Yep. Yeah.
Scary zombies.
Yeah. Zombies with heads that you can blow off. Which I really enjoy doing.
Yeah, I will say all the mods for Minecraft now, so different than when I first started during beta. And, like, all the character skins you can buy, it's a wild difference now.
Was it hard for you coming back after, like, 9 years to get used to it?
It was very hard because, like, even, like, the resources have been so expanded and, like, what you can build is so expanded. Yeah, it was just, like, building a boat wasn't even a thing during beta right away. So it was just like, whoa, you can build a boat.
I think that's really interesting because, like, my husband, similar situation. I saw him playing Minecraft once or something, or I saw it on his Xbox, I think, and I was like, what's that? He's like, that's Minecraft. I'm like, wait, that's Minecraft? That's the game that all the 10-year-old boys were playing, like, 5 years ago or 10 years ago? And he's like, I guess so. I mean, I was also playing it then. I was like,
same.
And then I was like, well, that game looks stupid. And then he comes down the stairs one night, and it's like the middle of the night, and I'm playing it, and I just look at him, and then it was all downhill from there.
Oh.
But then he started playing, and he's like, wow, this is a very different game.
Yeah, and it's so much opportunity for bonding, like building something together, but also will test your relationship, because I tell you what, when somebody TNTs your house, complex.
I sent a text to my husband, and I was like, playing Minecraft with kids is hard because I'm so used to playing with other adults, you know?
Yeah.
And she just kept walking in front of where I was trying to pick.
And then you kill them.
And then you kill them and they get upset. And I'm like, okay, I need you to stay behind me.
No. Oh, you mean right here? Right here?
Right in front of me. No, behind me. Okay, yeah. Let's go do something else because clearly we cannot mine together.
Yes. Yes, or my favorite, like when you're trying to build something and you have a specific shape in mind and then they just start filling it in with blocks. And it's like, no, what are you doing? And this isn't even the same type of block.
Yeah, I had like an issue where I was terraforming and she went under my terraforming. And I was just like, hey, you're going to want to get out of there because I'm going to close that up. And she's like, oh, okay. 5 minutes later, I see feet. And I'm like, hey, you might want to get out of there. I'm closing it. Oh, you're closing this? Yes, I'm closing the shape. And it just became this, I was like, okay, I'll just bust her out if she gets stuck, I guess. It's fine. It's fine. And then, like, of course, 5 minutes later, she's like, why did you stick me in here? And I'm like, I didn't stick you in there. I told you to get out. Also, why did you bring the llama with you?
Oh, my God. Favorite, like, weird story. Kids sometimes say things in really terribly opportune moments, right? And out of context sounds terrible. And Luca, one time we were at Joanne's, so relationship to crafting, we were at Joanne's standing in line, and like he turns to me and he's like, mommy, why did you lock me in that hole? And I'm just like, what? And I have no context because this is like some random kid memory, right? He's like, yeah, you put me in the hole and you closed me in the hole and it was dark and I couldn't see and I didn't know where to dig. And like this old woman in front of us just turns and gives me the like nastiest look. And at this point, I still have not figured out what he's talking about. And I was like, baby, I don't know what you mean. Like, I don't remember putting you in a hole. And he was like, Minecraft! And just, like, screams it out. And then, like, suddenly, like, everybody just, like, has smirks on their face.
Oh, my gosh.
I almost got, like, child protection called on me for a Minecraft misunderstanding. Like, people think I'm throwing my child in a hole. Whew. So, yes.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's, yeah.
Just like, oh. Triggered when we talked about that moment with her. I was like, ah, yes, children. So what other crafting games?
Those are the majority of them. Oh, but another thing, while I was going over this, it occurred to me that there are actually, back in the day, there was a Barbie fashion designer game.
Yes, yes,
we've
yes.
talked about this, haven't we?
I think we've talked about it, not on the podcast.
Okay, so we've talked about this in person. So if you find a copy of this game, and I'm hoping we don't cause everyone to have a rush onto eBay to go find the existing 5 copies of this game, but if you manage to make it work, I have a hack for you, because I would run out of that stupid fabric paper all the time as a child, and as an adult, I now know that there is a way to print on fabric. Oh yeah, Heather's like, giving me a look. She's like, wait, what?
I don't think we're talking about the same game anymore.
No, so it was like a game where you, I guess it wasn't, it was a game. It was for kids. It was a game. But you would design dresses and stuff, and you could actually print them out.
Oh.
And put them on your Barbie.
Interesting.
Using this special fabric paper. All that it is fabric that doesn't fray easily that is on a sticky label. You take a full sheet label, you take your, like, fabric that's, like, I would recommend using the fabric that we used in my embroidery class.
Duck cloth?
Duck cloth. Would work really well. And it comes in different thicknesses. You can use the thinner stuff. Stick a label on it, cut around the edges, print right on it. Wish I'd known that as a kid, because I begged my parents to buy me more of that very, very expensive fabric paper. It's literally a label stuck to fabric. Literally.
I was talking about the Super Nintendo Barbie game where it's like each season, right? And then it's like season, like the first season, Barbie's in her car and she's like driving, and then she's like at the fashion magazine shoot, so you have to do her hair and makeup, and then you also have to pick her outfit to match the hair and makeup.
Oh, I love that.
And then they like do the magazine cover. And then each season, it's like she's doing a different activity and then also shooting.
That's awesome.
So that's what I thought you were talking about.
I need to look that one up because I actually still have a Super Nintendo. It's with my brother-in-law, but I have one.
You definitely need to.
I need to look that up.
Super fun.
The other game that I'm going to bring up, and I never know if people remember this, but there was a Mario painting game.
Yeah.
That had like an accessory.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a early Cintiq sort of thing, yep. But not really. It was just like a tablet that went with the Nintendo.
Yeah. And then like Yoshi's Craft World or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Paper Mario, and there's like all the origami references. And then
and I got really into Paper Mario. I've played Super Mario RPG, which was the first kind of game in the series, and then there was all the Paper Mario ones that were subsequent.
Paper Mario RPG.
I played all of them and loved them and beat. Actually, with the one for the Wii, I stayed up every single night to beat it before my boyfriend did at the time. Like, I was like, he was so mad at me too. He's like, wait, you beat it? And I was like, yes, I wanted to beat it before you.
I love it. Love it.
But that one's really fun because it does reference like paper crafts and stuff.
Yeah. And I have Yoshi's Craft World 4 Switch. I just need to play it. I'm a terrible person. I own games that I don't ever play. I also just started playing Dream Valley from Disney World.
I have heard good things about that. I feel like the Disney characters, like from what I've heard, the Disney characters can ruin it for some people, weirdly enough, even though it's a Disney game. And I feel like I wouldn't like it just because Disney characters, but I don't know if that's true.
So I'm playing it with Luca, and so that in and of itself changes my experience completely, because most of my time playing is me coaching him on how to play.
Okay.
But there is mining elements, there is murdering plants element, there's gardening elements, building furniture, there's like a crafting component where you have to like get recipes to create things similarly in my Animal Crossing. So, I mean, I'm enjoying it so far, but I haven't gotten very far. I do think some of the mechanics are stupid. So, like, I don't like that you have to, like, switch between your pickaxe and your hand constantly.
Okay. So it's, like, kind of like the argument with Animal Crossing where you're like, I have storage in my house and my crafting bench is in my house. How come I can't access my storage in my house from my crafting bench in my house? I have to go through all these different menus to access materials, mm-hmm. and have them in my hand or in mm-hmm. my inventory. Like, that seems dumb. And frankly, it is dumb. It's a dumb mechanic.
Yep. It is. Yeah. So far, it's very creative. There's a lot of, like, fluid opportunities. So I like it.
I might have to check that out.
You should. I'm getting it on Switch so I can play by myself without Luca.
Yeah, I think that's like all the crafting games or creative sort of games that I've played.
There's also Ark, which I've played with my husband, which is like the one with the dinosaurs.
Yeah,
like survival and crafting.
I've played that one too. I feel like I got over intimidated by it. But I feel like now that I played more 7 Days, I might enjoy. I've been thinking about going back and trying it again to see if I'm less like, you know, because 7 Days was intimidating too at first, and now it's less so. It just, because of the edginess of the graphics and like the way that it's presented and marketed, it felt a little bit hard to get into and play.
Sure. Yeah, and I think because I played with my husband, some of that intimidation was reduced because it was like, oh, I can just blame him if I don't figure it out. I just blame him for it sucking. So we died because of you. So, yeah, avoiding accountability.
Whee! Yay!
It's all about relationships, right? It's exactly what you need in a healthy relationship. Cool. I don't think I have any other thoughts on video games other than I really appreciate the people who put in the work to create video games. My sister just finished her computer science degree, and two of her big final projects were actually building video games, like coding them and establishing them.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm super proud of her and hope she actually makes one for real that she can benefit financially from.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Not that she hasn't built one before, but, like, one that actually is what she wants and not influenced by other people.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And that's when people talk about that, I do think a lot about, like, EA who hires people for, like, a game and then lets them go and then hires them for a game. So a lot of those people are on contract and they don't really get to follow through or be a part of subsequent titles sometimes. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not, especially at the lower levels of the coding and stuff, but...
Yeah, and I will say Steam. I really love how much opportunity Steam has created for indie designers.
Yep.
Because I think that Steam has changed the landscape for game designers and developers.
And they did that before. Honestly, I think that's one of, like, the most, like, the earliest examples I can think of the, like, you can learn to do this at home sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it was before Uber Eats, DoorDash. It was before... Mm-hmm. Instacart. It was before, you know, you could rent your car out, or even Airbnb, I think.
Yeah.
It predates a lot of that with them supporting small indie creators. They were the first ones to really do anything that's, like, in that vein of, like, yes, you could do things yourself instead of going through getting a degree and learning how to do it, so...
I will also shout out Humble Bundle for people who don't know. A lot of times they have specials, like, bundles of software for developing games, or like manuals on how to do coding and stuff. And so they have these really affordable bundles that people can do, and then the money benefits different causes. So I like Humble Bundle.
I have a few of those.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, I get a lot of my craft books from there.
I was going to say, I think I have a few craft book bundles.
Yeah, they have some really fun ones. And, like, a weird, like, eclectic amalgamation of them.
We should probably compare notes, because I think I have a ton of them that I haven't even read. I just have them. I'm, like, a weird little file hoarder.
Yes, we've discussed this, and I'm the same way when it comes to crafty things. So, yes. Love it. Well, thanks, guys, for listening to us.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Not So Crafty Gorgons. We really appreciate your support, and we couldn't do any of this without you, our listeners. Cover art is by Marina Soul Art. Music is by Naveed, who is Amin Me on Fiverr. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review or rating on whatever platform that you prefer. And for exclusive content with the Gorgons, including tutorials, swag, and bonus episodes, subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/notsocraftygorgons. For episode previews and other updates, follow us on Instagram @not_so_crafty_gorgons.